Earlier this week, I made the trip out to Enniscorthy to catch up with Wexford hurling manager Keith Roster ahead of the start of the Leinster Hurling Championship, a segment of our chat featured on this week's Sportsbeat Extra. But in all, Keith and myself had an over 30-minute chat on his changing approach to management since taking over the Wexford job, dealing with some high-profile retirements ahead of the league campaign, and welcoming in new blood to the setup. Here's that full interview now. Keith Roster, thanks a million for joining me. Obviously, we're looking ahead to the Leinster Championship, which is beginning on April 19th. You have a big game against Antrim there. But I want to kind of, before we get into all that, ask a little bit about, obviously, how the training has been going. I mean, obviously, you're out in Carlow yesterday, playing a bit against Kildare. How's the squad shaping up now? How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, getting there. A couple of lads come back from injury, which is great. It's been a fairly congested season so far. And, you know, we had a lot of niggles going through the league, especially the beginning of the league, and got a couple of lads back. And, you know, one or two smaller little things at the minute, but squad is strong, you know, and plenty of lads pushing for place in the panel to play Antrim. Mm-hmm.
I suppose the story of this championship is nearly starts with the end of last year's campaign. I mean, you look at the squad now in comparison to then, it's completely changed. I mean, not to mention, I suppose, over the period before even getting into the league, the retirements, obviously Liam Oak, Dermot, Matthew, like, big names to try and fill spots for, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, 100%. And you're looking for lads to step up the whole time, but those lads served their time. You know, great servants to Wexford hurling, bringing guys to be around great leaders in the dressing room. Mm-hmm. You know, but to serve their time, and it was, you know, in their eyes, it wasn't my decision. Mm-hmm. It was their decision, you know, to move on, and you know, I had to respect that. As big as a hole as that can leave, in fairness to the players that are there, they're stepping up. Mm-hmm. You know, we've a lot of younger guys now in their mid-20s that are really looking to be the leader of this team, which is great to see. And you know, and it's just a cycle. It happens. There's players coming and going the whole time, you know, but we just need lads that are keen and wanting to wear the purple and gold and basically die for it, really. And you know, we have a lot of lads like that at the minute.
There's been much communication, I suppose, with the retired players since going off, because I mean, you obviously would have had experiences as well when you stepped down from inter-county level. It's difficult, I suppose, in a sense, to kind of readjust to not playing at that county level when those big championships come around.
Yeah, it's a difficult year. The first year out is it's, I don't know what the feeling is for it, to be honest with you. It's weird. Don't know whether it's the right thing to go to matches. Obviously, you want the lads to win. Think you should be stepping back a bit to readjust your life, get back into the club and immerse yourself in the club, which is always good. It's a weird feeling. Would I like to do it again? No. Never go to that again, because you're stepping away from something that you love doing for over a decade, and all those lads are well over a decade doing it, so it's a massive part of their life. But yeah, I've spoken to the lads on different occasions over the last couple of months. Happened on Lee Morgan in the gym one day, and you know, even that in himself, he was sort of saying to me, you know, I'm in the gym now and I know it's the club, but in the gym there's always a purpose. You know, you're getting ready for league, getting ready for championship. Now the club is so far away, it's hard to see the purpose in it, but that's just the changes you get used to. And you know, give it year one, year two gets a lot easier.
Yeah,
and you're part of the norm again then.
Because that's what I was going to say, like, because you know, when you start out playing, obviously club is the first stepping stone, and then your obviously next push is to try and get onto the county panel and to get into those competitions. And then once you retire, going back to club, you kind of have to readjust your mentality into thinking like, okay, this is the first step to completely stepping away completely, isn't it?
You don't think about that. When you go back to the club, and you'd be sort of saying to yourself that, you know, probably when you're at Wexford and you're with your county side, you don't get to focus on the club as much, obviously, for X amount of months of the year. But once you go back, when the county is over, you're fully immersed in it. And when you retire and you go back to the club, you're sort of saying to yourself, now we'll give it everything, you know, and see what we can do. And, you know, and try bring on some of the young lads in the club that have just come up out minor, you know, and try create better habits when you're around, I suppose, and drive the thing on. And you're after coming out of an inter-county setup, you should be a leader at home in your club anyway. Mm-hmm. So you should be able to drag it on yourself and bring lads with you, and hopefully get the club, you know, to another level as well. You know, so that, I suppose, that's the target when you go back. Like, you take Liam Oak, you take Dermot, going back to St. Anne's, betting the county final last year. You know, I'm sure the two of them in the back of their mind, they're going home this year saying, you know, I'd love to win the county title before I finish up completely. Same with Matthew O'Hanlon. Matthew's gone to Australia now. It was on the cards for a while, but there's rumour, has it, is that the club have got to the last two county finals. I think it's the last two county finals. in intermediate, definitely last year, maybe semi-final year before. And I think rumour has it that if they can get to a quarter final, that I wouldn't be shocked to see Matthew back on the field in Wexford Park, because he's mad to get a club senior. Matthew was one of the guys that brought the club up from junior, you know, when he first started, right up to intermediate level. He'd love to get over the line into senior.
Yeah, I suppose it is difficult in a sense. Even you talk about the mentality of stepping away, and then on top of that, I'm not sure if it would have been the same when you stepped away, obviously, because the game, I suppose, not that it's been leaps and bounds since you last played, but on the top of that, the game has got so much more physically demanding since then, and there's a lot more pressure put on players, and even when it comes to diets and training and all those habits as well, when you step away from the intercounty scene and you realise, as you mentioned with Liam Ogie, you know, looking so far down the line to club level, like, you know, it must be difficult to readjust not only just your mental state for playing on the field, but also your whole life, because it's been built around it for so long.
Yeah, but they're good habits. You know, you probably wouldn't want to change too much of them, to be honest. You might just take the foot off the gas a little bit and relax a little bit more, but the habits of going to the gym, the habits of eating clean, the habits of, you know, not spending most of the time in the pub and drinking too much, those are all good habits to have, like, you know. Living clean, really. So you don't change much of that. It's just change the mentality that there's a pressure gasket when you're involved in intercounty. You know, draw big matches, you know, and they come thick and fast. And the mindset of that and trying to keep that mental strength for that is exhausting. I can see it in the players. I know myself from when I was playing, but these guys are getting, what, we're playing 5 matches in 6 weeks. You know, that's a serious roller coaster of emotions and mental strength required for it. So I suppose when you retire, you can sort of dial that down a small little bit. And it comes sort of later on in the summer with the club, so you get a good break from that. But I'd say body wise I say the lads are happy enough to keep themselves taken over and keep the body weight down and try to keep the body percentage below the double digits. I'd say that's the goal for the minute, and, you know, and enjoying life, I suppose, as well. When you retire, when you're intercounty hurler, you're full time. You're as close to professional athletes you're going to get in Ireland, I suppose, and it's just dialing that down a little bit as well. And having your takeaway, having your one or two drinks, going out with the wife or the girlfriend or the partner, and just relaxing a small little bit.
Let's focus on, I suppose, the current Wexford squad and that lead up to the league campaign. You know, obviously we mentioned those retirements, you talked about the young players coming in. Obviously a big factor of the squad you would have to consider as well is obviously that Lee would have been out for a good bit of the beginning. He didn't come back until the Clare game. How, describe to me, you sitting down before the campaign got underway, what was going through your mind? What were the factors that you were most keen to look in on? Was the league campaign something that you anticipated going the way it did, or was there stuff you would have changed differently had you had this knowledge now?
Obviously the results is one thing you change. You'd like to be in 1A and extra, but we're in 1B, and, you know, we're still going to get plenty of good matches in that division. I suppose the one thing I'd change is that I still like to have seen the Walsh Cup. I think the Walsh Cup has, the majority of the players at Hurl, Intercounty and Leinster play Walsh Cup at some stage. You know, you break in and you get blooded into a good winter competition where there is a cup at stake, but it's, you know, it's not the be all and end all. If you lose it, you're not regraded, or, you know, there's something at stake, but, you know, there's a little bit of give in it. And it's normally played in January and down heavy ground, and you get, as I said, you get to blood in a couple of players. And, you know, we had to organise a couple of practice matches for January, and your first competitive national championship game really was Cork and Wexford Park. You know, and Cork coming off the back of being in the Ireland final last year and having a very young squad and a lot of lads chomping at the bit, it was always going to be a tough ask. You know, even, you know, we prepared our lads really well for it. We had an awful lot of new guys out, and I suppose the blend between youth and experience was a little bit off. But in fairness to the lads, they stuck at it. The result didn't go our way, but the learning curve from the first three games, be it Cork, Tip and Kilkenny, you know, is that we blooded in guys and we probably strengthened our panel. You know, which is something that, if you'd asked me at the start of the year, what are you looking to do, I was looking to get a couple of guys into the panel that were going to strengthen it. A couple of guys that were, you know, I thought in my mind that are going to hurl senior into county for Wexford in the not too distant future. Now, and, you know, in the coming few years, and I think we achieved that.
Yeah, it's actually, it's great that you brought up, I suppose, strengthening the panel, because almost the bookend of the campaign is actually interesting, because both Cork and Limerick probably have the biggest panels out of any of those teams you were playing in Division 1A. Obviously, the result against Cork wasn't one that you'd hoped for, but then you go down to Limerick at the last game of the season, completely different story, isn't it?
Yeah, a completely different story. You know, we learned a lot from the start of the league, whereas I'm sort of saying that if the start of the league had been Walsh Cup, we might have learned a little bit more before we went into the league, but that's the way it goes, that's the way it was for everyone. We take it the way it went, but I think we were sort of more settled by the end of it. We readjusted some of the players on the field, we got some of the more experienced guys back. We were putting younger guys out, you know, guys that had been under a year, two or three, you know, out against the biggest teams in Ireland, you know, and in fairness to them, they fought hard. And when you bring the likes of Lee Chin and Jack O'Connor or Kevin Foley, you know, these guys back into your team, and you dot them around your different lines, you know, it's the experience, the bit of guidance for the younger guys, you know, and we got the balance. I think the latter end of the league, the balance is coming right.
Yeah. Obviously, the big point of the campaign and almost the shifting point that will be viewed in a lot of people's eyes is Lee Chin returning for that Clare game. Obviously, that's the first time you got a win in the league then at that stage. And I think it's probably a little bit disingenuous to say that Lee had everything to do with that, because Clare themselves weren't on a great run of form in the division themselves either. But for a lot of people in Wexford, seeing Lee come back to that team is almost a boost in confidence, a boost in energy, kind of revitalising support for the side. Is that something for you as a manager? You kind of see, oh, Lee's come back now, this is great. Like,
I know. Look, you want all your players playing. Mm. It's as simple as that. You want all the best players in Wexford hurling for Wexford, and Lee coming back from his travels is a massive boost for us. You know, the very same way with, you know, Shane Rick had missed the first half of the league, and I suppose Shane Rick is a player that goes undercover, that, you know, not too much people talk about, but he's a massive cog in our wheel as well. Mm. You know, and Shane was coming back around that time, and when you look at it and you see Lee coming back, it's the experience. You know, there was frees to be won at given time, and, you know, and balls to be caught, and, you know, and he has the ability to do that. Look, he's a great player. Mm. Look, we're delighted to have him. But at the same time, we got Kevin Foley back, we got Jack O'Connor back, Rory O'Connor was back playing, Damien Reck was coming back from injury, you know, and the younger fellas were after getting a bit of experience. So as I said, I think the blend was coming right at the time. But yeah, it's the leadership of the guys on the field. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't buy it. You can't buy experience. You know, unfortunately, that's the way it goes. And, you know, Lee was a mainstay coming back that time, and part of a few lads coming back into the squad to give us a better balance.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's, I suppose, difficult on a, like, obviously the whole team is fantastic, but on the calibre of Lee Chin, like, if you mention Wexford, he's almost the first name that comes up. Anyone outside of the county will know him as the face of Wexford hurling at this stage. It's a difficult situation for him, I suppose, to be in. Obviously, he handles the pressure very well. But on top of that, like, it's some amount of pressure, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is, yeah. He's well experienced to it now, and he's well versed with it. He's a great guy, great leader, great man to be around. Players love being around him. Great attitude towards it, even towards training. You know, the size of the man he is and what he puts into it, and, you know, mentally, and as I said, the attitude wise and the role model for the younger lads, he ticks all the boxes. Mm. You know, and as I said, we're delighted to have him, and there is pressure with that. He's able to handle it, but he's only as good as the other 14 lads that are on the field with him, and the other 20, 30 odd players in the panel. They're not pulling their own weight, you know. It's all very well having Lee Chin, but if the lads around him are not working as hard as him and coming along with him, you know, that's your team. It's about your team, it's about your squad. You know, it's great to have a player of his calibre, but it's probably more important to have the players around him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking at the end of the campaign now in the league, going obviously back down, we talked about 1B. It's not, I suppose, it's not the worst thing in the world to go down to 1B. Obviously, we saw it with Waterford last year. Now they've come back and they're probably the best they've ever been the last few years. Is it something for you that you think next year, and obviously it's a way down the line you'd be thinking about it, but, like, it's a nice chance to reset almost, and obviously the calibre of opponents is still very high, but it won't be on the same level as 1A. Is there a chance to give those, I suppose, new fresh blood players a chance to really kind of stretch their muscles on it?
It is, yeah, and you're going to get a couple of really good games in it as well. You know, it's not going to be an easy league to win, obviously enough, but it's something that I'll probably think about come November, December, and that's the way it is. The league has passed us, and it's done. I'm happy with the way the league finished. You know, we have something really to build on from the last three games anyway. And, you know, we put in a second half performance against Kilkenny that was quite decent as well. So we've a lot to build on, which is great. And then come next year, we'll worry about 1B next year when it comes next year. And it's not going to be an easy league either. It's going to be very competitive. There's going to be a couple of away games, at least one up north probably as well, which is never an easy place to go, as we all know. And, you know, and look, that's the challenges for next year.
Yeah. First game of the league, or not the league, sorry, first game of the championship against Antrim in Wexford Park. That'll be a interesting encounter. Obviously, Davy Fitz, former manager of Wexford, will be coming back down. A couple of the players on the panel will obviously know him from their time there as well. It's a nice way to get the campaign started. I suppose it's good, firstly, to have the momentum from the Limerick game going into it.
It is, and it's probably nearly, it's probably fair to say it's a distant memory. And, you know, it all comes down to this game, really. It's the first round of the championship. The good results against Clare and, you know, the performance against Galway and the win against Limerick, you know, come Saturday the 19th of April at approximately 4 o'clock, there's going to be very few talking about that. It's going to be what happened between Wexford and Antrim. And, you know, the Davy factor coming down, yeah, it's big. He was around Wexford for a long time and had a lot of success in Wexford and was a very good manager in Wexford. You know, but it's coming down now to Wexford and Antrim. You know, we went up there last year, we were beaten, you know, and deservedly so. So, you know, we're not taking anything for granted. And, you know, it's great to get the championship started, and it's not like around the corner either, which is brilliant.
Yeah, Antrim, a side that bring a lot of physicality to the table. I mean, that's something that we saw leaps and bounds on. It won't be probably a little bit inconsistent when it came to performances, and that's something that even Davy Fitz would have noted on, obviously saying, I think this is kind of clear across the board. The team you see in training versus in the match can be vastly different depending on the psychological factors behind it. But it's a side, do you think we've seen the best of Antrim yet, or do you think that's still yet to come?
I wouldn't think so. I'd say still to come, in fairness to him. I said, in fairness to Davy, I know how he operates. I was with him for 5 years in the Wexford. You know, you go up, you're changing the way to play. That takes time, you know. And again, for Davy in Antrim, it's a new manager coming in. Didn't have the pre-season tournament to get involved in. So he was thrown straight into the National League as well. And, you know, if you're looking at their performance against Offaly, probably in the first round or two, to their performance against, you know, Carlow and Leash in the last round or two, probably something similar trajectory to ourselves. You know, and I think, you know, in fairness to Davy, he's a good man to have a team primed for championship. I seen him Wexford when he was changing that in his first year. You know, it took the lads a long time to adjust to what he was doing, but by the time the championship came around, they were well horsed on what happened behind closed doors. You know, they'll come out and they'll be primed for it.
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned, obviously, the sort of similarities between the two sides, because it's something that I was even thinking myself. And I suppose the defining factor of that is, obviously, having both of you worked together before. Is there an interesting case that you'll actually recognise some of maybe the drills or training types that you would see out on the pitches? Oh, well, actually, we've done this before and we know how to counter it.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's going to stand still anyway. I think that's the main thing. He's going to... Davey's always learning and he's always changing, and he has a book of notes and a book of drills and a book of setups that, you know, I'm sure there's something new in it that I haven't seen before, and he'll throw it out against us in Wexford Park. But it's going to be one hell of a battle. He's going to have him well prepared for it. You know, it's a massive game for Antrim, it's a massive game for Wexford.
Yeah, I think one thing that probably stands to Wexford, and we touched on obviously the injuries and the changes in the squad from last year to now, is the fact that with the amount of players that have played across the board, there's almost an ability to reshape or restructure the way you play in a game. And with what I say, when Rory O'Connor's out, another player might bring in something different, and when he's back, then obviously they go back to what he was good at. Is that that's obviously a benefit to have all of that, but it's a case that the players probably now at this stage are well versed in what each player can do, and it's almost second nature, is it?
Yeah, you're trying to get the lads used to each other, playing you know, regularly together, so they know exactly what you're saying there, so they know exactly what Rory's doing, they know what Lee is doing, they know what Jack is doing, you know, and they know what Kevin Foley, where he's running, what he's going to do and where he's going to play the ball. And that just comes with practice and game after game, and for the team to play each other. But with such a congested season, you're not getting a chance to, you know, introduce as much players into that as you might like. You know, it's week on week, it's heavy, there's a lot of pressure in 1A this year, so you're trying to get results but still at the same time trying to give a guy a go, which is never easy either. And, you know, you'd like to throw the more inexperienced guys and the guys that are more on trial, say their first year in, you'd like to be able to throw them in around the experienced guys to bring them along as well. But as I said earlier, our challenge was that we were throwing the new guys in with the guys who had 2 or 3 years experience, which is a very big task and a big ask for them all in general. But in fairness to them, when you see the patterns of what Rory and the way they play and the new guys that are coming in, they're just into it fairly well. And, you know, in-house games inside, you can bring that along as well. But what way we're going to go about it now for Championship, I don't know. It's still down for decision.
Yeah. I mean, the Championship this year especially is kind of almost a feast for the eyes. Like, the teams that are playing in it, Offaly, Dublin, Antrim, Galway, Kilkenny, yourselves, like, there's a case that really any team can beat any team. There's no clear-cut favourites, there's no clear-cut losers, really, is there?
Yeah, well, you just took the words in my mouth. I don't think it's clear-cut at all. As much as the pundits would think so, I don't think so. It's going to be done game by game. There's going to be an upset along the way. There always is, nearly, in Leinster. It's, you know, what, a couple of years ago, Galway didn't make it out into the three. You know, I think we made the three last year. You know, Kilkenny, Dublin ourselves. You know, and that's after happening to Galway a couple of times in it. Down to the last day, and that goes for all 6 teams that are in it. It'll come down to the last day to see what's to happen in Leinster, you know, which is great. It just shows the strength of the Leinster campaign. You know, it's just cause the quality that's going to be in the games. And, you know, it's I suppose we're looking at Antrim now. We'll have Dublin after that. We'll have a week off. We'll have Galway off and Kilkenny on the bounce. You won't be able to breathe, you know. But that's good. It's exciting for the supporters. We just want to give them something to shout about and be in the mix come the last week.
Mm-hmm. I suppose from your perspective now, the key factor is obviously getting as far in Leinster as possible. But on top of that as well, it has to be a case of formulating, finding the right squad that when later on, come the end of Leinster, you can look towards the All-Ireland and start saying, this is the squad we're going to be pushing forward with now.
Yeah, look, it's the big thing for us is the squad now. You know, in order to be successful and to win games, you're going to have a good strength and depth in your squad. I think we found a few younger guys this year and a few new guys added to the panel that are strengthening it, which is great. Obviously, we had 3 holes to fill with the 3 experienced guys leaving, but you have to move on. And it's just, you need strength and depth for the Leinster Championship. I wouldn't even go as far as talking about All-Ireland or anything like that. It's strength and depth to get through Leinster. There's 5 games in 6 weeks. You're going to pick up niggas, you're going to pick up knocks. Strange things are happening at the minute in relation to refereeing decisions, and there's lads being sent off for very little, so touch wood, nothing like that happens to us. But there's going to be lads missing important games, and you're going to need your bench to step up.
How is it for you as a manager trying to prepare for those games as well? Because we talk about injuries playing a massive factor in any side's performance. I mean, you look at the 1B league final, obviously, between Waterford and Offaly. Offaly not with a full strength squad. Obviously, Adam Screeny, their star player at the moment, out through injury. A case that you'll have Offaly fairly early on in the campaign. How do you look, I suppose, forward to that game and kind of judge based off, you know, do you almost have to set up one tactic for a side that includes a full strength Offaly side and one tactic then for a side that maybe is the more realistic set? Up you'll see.
Yeah, I suppose the way we look at it is that you set up now the way you're going to set up for Antrim. You're going to set up, you know, after that you take on what Dublin are going to do when you look at that, and you know, nothing really changes in our eyes. It gets to the stage where you just have to worry about yourself and what you're bringing to the table. You know, and you can get bogged down worrying about opposition and getting into detail on it, and there's any amount of stats out there and video evidence now that can be thrown at you. But you know, when it comes down to it, it's about the way you prepare your guys. As I said, the strength and depth in your squad, and probably picking the guys in the squad who are performing. You know, and that sometimes, you know, can cause arguments in itself. You know, we've seen it throughout the years. Brian Cody pulling the rabbit out of the hat on Ireland final day, and you know, and there's still a case for that, you know, pick it on form, pick it on guys playing well in training, pick it on guys playing well in practice matches, you know. So I suppose to answer your question, when you get down to looking at a full strength Offaly or a half strength Offaly, I think the main thing and the main focus this time of year is your own setup and what you're bringing to the table and how well your lads are ready to go for action and on match day.
Yeah, I suppose speaking on your squad, and you've touched on it already, I suppose, a little bit, but is it fair to say that the squad isn't finalised yet in a lot of key positions that anyone can really jump in for anyone at this stage?
Yeah, we played Kildare last night, a practice match. You know, we'll have another game now over the weekend, and we'll be after seeing every player. And it's, you know, I think it's next Tuesday or Wednesday, you'll have to have the squad back in for Croke Park to, you know, to finalise your squad for the Antrim game, and it'll be down to the wire for that. It's a it's a somewhat a clean slate to a certain extent. There's still positions up for grabs, which is always healthy and good. We'll have the headache now, and it's a good headache of drafting up the 26-man squad next week.
One thing I suppose that always, and unfortunately I suppose in some cases as well, is that the league doesn't probably receive the attendance as say the championship does, and then obviously going on further to the All-Ireland obviously. But when you look at the players, and the younger players particularly that you got lined out in the league campaign, is there a worry for you that the, I suppose, the pressure of a larger crowd at a championship match might get to them?
I suppose when you look at it, you're never going to forget your first championship game. There's a different atmosphere, there's a different nerve, there's a different build up. You know, even though we try to keep it as consistent as possible for the player himself, it's different. It's championship. It's all you ever dreamed of, you know, to go hurl, you know, senior to county championship for Wexford. It's to be all and end all. And then the occasion in itself, the roars from the scores, the roars when you get a hit, the roar when you catch it, you know. It's amazing. It's what it's about. It's what you played for, really. You know, the buzz on that. It's the league is probably never going to replicate it, regardless. Even back when I was playing and we were getting good attendance for league, it still is not the same as going out. Hopefully on a fine sunny day, we're getting the weather now, but I don't know if we're going to get it in 2 weeks' time. But you know, the championship is always sort of nice weather, summer hurling. Let's go fast ground. You know, and there's nothing going to replicate that. And each and every player, everyone, the younger guys going out are going to get that hit, and we have to prepare them as much as we can for that. That's why they're sports psychologists, and that's why, you know, we're spending so much time sort of, you know, preparing them for the big days. And look, all you can do is they'll have to experience it. They'll have to deal with it. It goes well for some people. It doesn't for others. But you'll never get your first day back.
Yeah. I suppose it helps, though, that obviously you're at home for the first match.
It's great to be home. Yeah. It's a massive boost. We were home last year to Dublin as well, which is always good. And you know, it's the home crowd and the Wexford supporters are unreal. When you know, it's our job to give them something to shout about. You know, not to give out about, to shout about, and to get behind us, and to drive us on. You know, and you know, that's up to the 15 players when they cross the field to get that. And you know, no better supporters to come behind you than Wexford when you're really fighting on the field.
I suppose. Stepping away a bit from the championship and the general discussion, kind of going over to you, since when you started to where you are now, how much do you think, I suppose, your coaching philosophy, obviously you would have had different players coming in and out, how much do you think that's changed?
Oh yeah, it's I suppose my management side of things started with Davey in 17. If it was Davey's management, and I was one of the coaches with him and progressing to selector with him then. And you know, it's in fairness to Davey, you know, various sort of elements of play. You know, he was obviously big on the sweeper, and Wexford brought the sweeper to Wexford, and Wexford used that, you know, that game plan really well. We got a Leinster out of it. Probably really unlucky not to get one in the final that year with tips, so I can't knock that at all. Fully backed Davey on it, and we had a lot of good days out with it. Times change, things change, you know, we're probably moved away from that now, and, you know, it's everyone has something different. Everyone has something else up their sleeve. For me, in the space of that sort of 8-9 years, it's been a massive learning curve. I went from Davy to managing the 20s, probably having my own way a little bit. It wasn't Davy's way, it was my own way now with my fellow coaches and selectors as well. And, you know, I'm very lucky that when I got into senior job, I've really good people around me. And, you know, David Franks is heading up the coaching element of it. You know, I've Des Mide, my own club man, massive hurling brain. Jason Ryan has been around the block as well, not only on the football front, but he's been around hurling as well and knows a lot about it. And Ivana Martin, another good hurling man. So as I was surrounding myself with really good people, and you know, and to say the least, David Henry looking after the goalkeeping, you're not going to get better. So there's good people in the setup. Philosophies of hurling, we all have our ideas on it. We all sort of come to an agreement. It's nearly David Franks' agreement on the hurling side, but we're all aligned on that, and it has changed over the years. Yeah, and I think hurling has changed over the years. And you know, Limerick brought something different for a while. Clare came last year and battled it out. Cork are coming with something different again this year, you know, the pace on the ball again, and doing typically what Cork do really well is moving the ball really fast and really good hurlers and punching on the far end of pace. So hurling always changes, it always evolves, and it's sort of, you need to get yourself up to scratch fairly quick or be left behind.
when you've taken over, I suppose, full-time in management, obviously, you know, you would have worked with Davey and the players would have had a lot of respect for Davey. But on top of that, there's an added element, I suppose, to you taking over, obviously, being from the county, having done so much with the county. I mean, the list of accolades, I suppose, even just if you take a general look on your Wikipedia page, your finger nearly gets sore from scrolling down. Like, is there an added pressure, do you think, when you first started out, that you were kind of like, well, I really need to make the most of this now?
I do. You don't get a second bite of this. Some people do, you mightn't. It's a great honour to be the Wexford senior hurling manager, you know, and you know, sometimes you have to pinch yourself to say, geez, you know, it's a massive job. Very proud to have it, very proud for the family at home and the club that I'm the Wexford manager, and you know, it's to lead the bunch of players that are there. That was a big thing for me. It was the bunch of players that are there. I knew them all. 99.9% of them I knew. I knew what I was getting myself into. I knew I was probably going to have a couple of retirements over my spell as manager. Didn't think it'd come as quick, but I knew it. But the players were the ones that, you know, I said, whatever about me doing the job, the players are the ones that are going to drive it. Mm-hmm. And I knew I had good players in the dressing room, and that was the deciding factor for me on taking the job. There is pressure with it. Yes, there's pressure. It's great being a Wexford man. I want Wexford to win. I won't say more than the people of Wexford, but just as much as every hurling man in Wexford, I want Wexford to win. Mm-hmm. I want to see silverware on the table. I want Wexford to be at the top table in hurling. I want us to have good performances. I want us to enjoy it. I want the supporters to enjoy it. I'm a supporter myself as well as being manager. I'll always support Wexford hurling. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that brings its own pressure, knowing that you're leading it. But it's a privilege to do it and be able to do it. And you know, the enjoyment for me is seeing the lads perform at a high level.
You mentioned obviously there talking about when you took over, you knew that you would see a couple of retirements in your time. You hadn't expected that some of them would come so soon. Who were the players you thought might have stuck on a bit longer?
The three lads left. Yeah, it's as simple as that. And look, it's not that I would have expected them to stay on longer. I would have hoped. But in fairness to them, they probably stuck on the year for me. In the first place, Lee Moog was travelling over and back from Malaysia at the time. Matthew deferred Australia. Dio had a little kid at home. Some stuff going on in his personal life as well, and back operations and bits and pieces going on. But in fairness to the three of them, they grinded out the year for me. I won't say for me, for themselves. But didn't let me down either. No. You know, and I massive respect for the treatment for doing that. I probably would have been in bonus territory getting the treatment for another year. But I was hoping. I was not answering phone calls, not answering texts for a little while, hoping that they'd just come around. But that's the way it goes. I said, that's all one big cycle. It's what happens. There's going to be someone again the year after when I'm gone. There's going to be more people going as well, and that's just the cycle of it. But yeah, I was hoping out, but I knew myself taking the job. But in saying that, I still knew that we have a strong panel and a good squad and players that are there willing and able to stand up and be the leaders of Wexford, which they're currently doing.
Was there even a conversation at one point that you were kind of saying, well, okay, you can step back, maybe come back for the championship or come back for the All-Ireland campaign if we're there?
Look, I suppose every manager would probably look at it differently. Maybe they might look at it the same. When I was retiring myself, there was a couple of things thrown on the table to me about, you know, take off the winter, you know, and come back and train and get you ready for championship and you'd be good for championship. And I suppose what was in my head at that time was that I finished in 14 and I probably done double the work in 14 that I did in 12 and 13. To get 14 out of it. And now all of a sudden the suggestion of taking a winter off and coming back for the summertime means I have to do triple the work in the summertime. And from conversation with players that have retired over the years, it's, you know the amount of work it takes at that stage, you know the work it takes to get on the field for championship, and you know when it's starting to slip a little bit, you know when the body's getting a little bit sore than it should be, you know when your recovery used to be 24 hours has now gone to 48 if not 56. You know yourself, you know the way your body is, and you know the work it takes to get on the field. And I don't think myself personally, I don't think taking shortcuts on that is the way to go. Mentally wise, you know it's in the bank when you step out on the field. You know?
Yeah. I suppose there's an added element to it as well. It's probably not at the forefront of your mind, but there was a recent report done there well by the Gaelic Players Association. I'm not sure if it was just in regards to footballers or if hurlers were included as well, but the actual cost of being an intercounty player meant that you were almost in a deficit after every year of nearly over a grand, like when it came to travelling and to food and expenses and all that as well. Like, there must be something that even if you come back just for the summer, you have to think, well, first of all, I'm committing my life to this summer project again when I could be doing other things now that I've retired. And on top of that as well, you know, I'll probably come out of it at a, you know, net negative in terms of income.
Yeah, I don't think your mind goes there, yeah, to be honest with you. I don't think it goes there at all. I think when it's all stripped back, to hurl for your county, to hurl inter-county, to hurl against the best players in the country, to represent your county, as a young boy growing up, that's all you want to do. Yeah. I don't think the negative effect, you know, think about all the people that are putting all the hours in at home to get you to that position. You know, I'm down in my own club out at the back at the minute. There's guys down there that I would have hurled with that are a little bit older than me, and they're in the field at home 4 nights a week with kids. You know, 4 nights a week. You know, the kids themselves, they've worked themselves, but the work that they're putting into these kids to make them better, to make them better for the club, to make them better for Wexford. And that's happening throughout the country, in every club. If we're going to talk about being, you know, deficit in your pocket, one of those guys owns his own business. I know him, he's a good friend of mine. The money he's losing is unbelievable. You know, if he could turn the hours that he was in the field in back into his work, you know, he'd have a lot more money in the bank account. But it doesn't come down to that. I don't think it ever came down to that with GA players. I think you can't put a price on, you know, wearing your county colour and representing your club and representing your family and going out on match day. I don't think there's a price on that. I think if you ask anyone, give me a couple of £100 there and you can play for Wexford, I think there'd be a good line outside the front door. You know, so that'd be my thought on that. I don't know the numbers, I don't know what players are down, but my opinion on it is that from a young age, all I ever wanted to do was play for Wexford and represent Wexford and my family and my club, and there's a serious privilege and honour in that.
And I suppose it kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier about the habits you develop as a player as well, like what you put into, I suppose, Gaelic games, whether it's football, handball, hurling, whatever, you know, the energy you spend in the gym, the energy you spend looking after your own health as well, like that stands to you outside of the games as well, doesn't it?
Ah, sure. The impact it has on your life is fantastic. You know, yes, it can be mentally draining and it's tough. I hit on that earlier. It is tough, you know, and you do need a little bit of time to sit back from it. But the impact on your life and your body and your health and, you know, the social aspect of it, you know, you play hurling for Wexford, you play hurling for your club, you know, it's brilliant, but when you get to play hurling for Wexford, there's probably not a place, as you said about Lee Chin, you know, I've Liam Ryan, I've Conor McDonald, I've Shane Reck, Damien Reck, I'm not going to name them all because there's so much good lads now, Simon Donoghue, Conor Hearn, there's loads of guys, younger guys coming, Richie Lawler, these guys can go wherever they want in Ireland, you know, and probably have a friend from college or some guy to hurl with, even go across to the States for holidays. They can always knock on the door to someone out there that'll open it for him, let him in through the hurling connection.
Keith Rosser, it's been an absolute pleasure. Best luck on the 19th and thanks a million for joining me.
Thanks very much. Been a pleasure.
Tracking sport across the southeast.
Sports Beat Extra.